Welcome back to your seats. All right, Explore God. We're beginning a seven-week series on some really big life questions. And some of you might be thinking, why are we doing Explore God? And so, glad you ask, or I'm going to tell you anyhow. Whenever you wonder about why we're doing what we're doing for preaching material on Sunday morning, you can always know that an answer to the question is because we believe God is directing us to share that with the body here. And so that's always going to be the case. Whatever is taught, preached, it's because we believe God is wanting us to cover that with our congregation. The other reason, which is really exciting, is that we are joining with a number of other churches in the Harrisonburg community in doing this series. And so back almost a year ago, not quite, but a number of churches who I know the pastors from Coffee Hour downtown, we share our lives together, and we decided to do this series together as a way to reach into our community with the truth of God's word. And so this series, Explore God, is a really geared towards seekers, people who are trying to understand what is true and where does truth come from. And those churches, by the way, anybody see a city bus with an Explore God sign on the back of it? I have yet to see one on the road, but I've seen a picture of one on the road. So I trust that they're out about spreading the word. You can do the Google and search for it and see Divine Unity's doing this series this morning. Eastside's doing it. First Pres is doing it. Asbury Methodist is doing it. Church of the Incarnation, Church of the Lamb, River Oaks Church. It's really cool. A number of churches are doing the same material at the same time, and it's an expression of the broader body of Christ in our community. You do know that the body of Christ in Harrisonburg, Rockingham County is more than Grace Covenant Church. Yeah. Good. So we're doing it for that reason, and we're doing this series because as we explore God and these life questions, we're fulfilling our vision to see people saved and healed. And so the truth of God's word is going to find a home in people's hearts, we believe, through small group discussion, through personal encounters, and through our sermon message series. So to that end, I would like us to pray right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, let your blessing and let your Holy Spirit's favor be on the series that we're embarking on right now. I pray that as we explore the truth of your word and who you are, that you would open hearts to receive the truth. And Lord, wherever there's confusion or searching or uncertainty about the questions that we cover, I pray that truth would make a home in people's hearts, your word, your life, and that confusion, deception would be taken off of people. So protect us from what's not true and open our hearts to what is true. And Lord, I pray particularly for young people right now. I pray for high school students, middle school students. I pray for college students where as they grow and a lot of different ideas are explored, I pray that you would reveal yourself to each one. Lord, there's thousands of college students who've come to this community, and we pray that while they came to study, you would reveal yourself to them. On campus, in housing, off campus, at restaurants, do miracles and reveal yourself to people coming to this community for education. You bring them into relationship with yourself, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the questions, there's a number of questions we're going to cover over these 7 weeks. One is, is the Bible reliable? Is Christianity too narrow? Is there a God? Why does God allow suffering? Can we know God personally? Today's question is does life have a purpose? Does life have a purpose? And so we have a little video here where a bunch of different people respond to that question, does life have a purpose?
Why were we put here? I think everyone wants to know, why were we put here? Why are we on Earth?
My purpose in life is to live a normal life, to be a citizen, a productive citizen.
Intentar pasar por la vida de la manera más desapercibida posible.
I don't fully know why I'm here, but I enjoy that. I enjoy knowing that because then that creates endless possibilities for myself.
I would like to make a difference, even if it's only in one life. I'd prefer to do more.
Because I think the meaning of life, in my opinion, is to find something that you're passionate about and use that passion to make the world around you a better place.
That's a variety of responses. Hey. So the one I like the most, because I'm multilingual, she said she wanted to live life as unnoticed as possible. There also was a caption at the bottom. So that's a really different response. One lady's response was, I like not knowing. It gives more possibilities, something like that. Traditional response of, I want to make a difference. I want to make people or the world a better place. So if you have ever raised teenagers, you know that the question, does life have a purpose, is not really a good question. Because a simple, yes or no, ends the conversation. So that's not a yes-no response is not a good question. Here are some better questions. What is the purpose and meaning of life? How do I find the purpose and meaning of life? And what or who is the source of meaning and purpose of life? So those are more open-ended questions that invite more dialogue and conversation rather than just a yes or no response. Sue and I were driving somewhere recently. Maybe it was just across town. But this song came on, and the song had this lyric, I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't want people to remember. You don't want me singing anymore. Then it says, only Jesus. That was the tag. That was, so the gist of that song was, I don't really want people to remember who I am or what I did. I don't even want to have a legacy other than that people would remember Jesus. She's really fond of that song, Sue is. I think it's okay. I'm not all in for it yet. I want to say that the way that we respond to these kinds of big questions is really different now than just not that long ago. 30 years ago, if I wanted to get really good resources and information on answers to this question, I would actually go to a nice large library that had stacks of reference material and theological books and philosophy books. And now I just Google. And I find the fountain of all truth. And we know that isn't true, but it provides some interesting challenges and some really amazing opportunities to the body of Christ. Because seriously, when I was a youngster and I started to grow significantly in my walk with the Lord through my college years, I would go and get books, physical books off of pastors' shelves or off my dad's extensive library. I would borrow commentaries. You would go to the library and read these things. And now at your fingertips, you can reference all of these materials. And so what it does is it makes people, I think, particularly a little less discerning of what they embrace as true. It's so accessible. For hundreds of years, only people of wealth, resources, and the time to give to study would wrestle with some of these existential kinds of questions. Now, I saw a statistic that 50% of the world, more or less, has access to the internet, which means they have access to all of this information that only a select group of people used to have access to. And that's a really good thing, but it makes it even more important for us to know what is true and where does truth come from. And so the answer to what is the purpose and meaning of life really could have many different answers. People could respond, if they were a Muslim, people could respond to this question with, the Quran tells me that I'm to worship Allah. That would be one answer to what is the purpose and meaning of life. Another, if a person were Buddhist, the answer would be to end all suffering through enlightenment, a process of improvement where you pursue and achieve intellectual and ethical perfection. The spiritual leader of Buddhism, the Dalai Lama, said this in an article that I saw back in February. It was written in February. I just saw it this week. I believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. From the moment of birth, every human being wants happiness and does not want suffering. Just as an aside and to make an impression, I was this close to the Dalai Lama in the lobby of the Ramada Inn in Delhi, India. Me and Frank, close. I recognized him. He didn't recognize me. So I recognized him by his dress and by the entourage he had around him, protecting him from people like me. Anyhow, so that's one view of the answer. For a Hindu, the answer is this multi-stage process of improvement that usually takes multiple lifetimes. Hence, reincarnation is necessary until perfection is achieved. If I were to embrace the secular humanist philosophy and the views, then I would pursue personal growth and actualization that relies primarily on history, the study of science, and human reasoning. I would not rely on God or gods, because that's just a concept, not an actual deity. And if I'm a Christian, I'm going to find the answers to this question and many others in God's word, because we believe God's word is true. And so over the course of these 7 weeks, we're going to go to God's word to look for the answers to these big life questions. And I want to say that however you choose to answer this, what is the purpose and meaning of life, how you choose to answer this question, whether it's a world religion, whether it's Christianity, whether it's atheism, whatever, it impacts all kinds of really practical day-by-day decisions, like how should I spend the money that I have? Who should I develop relationships and friendships with? Should I go to college? If I should, where? What kind of work should I do? Where should I pursue it? All of those really basic, important life practical questions will flow out of what I believe from this question is, what is my purpose in life? Okay, so I want to go to God's word, and I want to begin with a passage from what is considered one of the wisdom books, and this is Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes is nestled between Proverbs and this scandalous book, Song of Songs. So I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. You can follow along. You can listen. You can track in your electronic device. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. What do people get for all of their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. Cheery thoughts, eh? Verse 12, I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. At some point, I'm going to read and you're going to plead for me to stop. But I got a little more. Chapter 2. The futility of pleasure. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for good things in life. But I found this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Man, if the weather didn't depress you, you're there. So what are we to learn from all of this? Well, I just want to say, after reading that text, there's something that stands out, and I even, you know, did a little emphasis and accent to help you out. What is the most used word in that whole text? I. What is true is if we make ourselves the center of the story, we will never find meaning and purpose. That's what's true. This king, this writer, this teacher, gave himself to the pursuit of everything he could find in learning, in wisdom, everything he could find by way of pleasure and materialism, and he came up without purpose. He came up meaningless. And right now, I can just kind of feel in the room, there's a few people say, well, he was just a loser. Give that to me, and I would come out differently. Isn't it true that most of us think, if I won the lottery, my life would be beautiful? I don't know why these people tank theirs after winning the lottery. Don't we think that we would do it so much better? I is a really big, prideful idol. And if we seek purpose and meaning in life through self, we will find out meaningless, purposeless. We will be full-on depressed ourselves. And so here's how this teacher, this king, this author of this book of wisdom ends this book. In chapter 12, verse 12, he goes like this. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. Amen, right, college students? Much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. So he wraps it up with a bow. And at the end of this book of wisdom, at the end of his life, he's like, here's the conclusion. Fear God, revere God, awe, worship God, and obey his commands. That's the bottom line. So if we make God the center of the story, then we're going to find meaning and purpose. And I just implore you, church, don't wait till the end of your story to get it right. Embrace God as the answer to the question of where is purpose and meaning come from. Don't waste your life trying everything that this teacher and author sets out for us. And I know, much like we had four children, sometimes you just got to do it yourself before you believe it. So don't be that person. Embrace the truth. It's right here. Okay, let's look at some more truth about purpose and meaning in life. Another character, we're going to move to a New Testament text. John, the Gospel of John, you should read it sometime, and you get this wonderful picture of Jesus who does nothing except what the Father is doing. That's his purpose. His perfect obedience to the will of God is what Jesus is all about. And so he's already living his life consistent with the conclusion of that Ecclesiastes poem. Revere God and obey his commands. Jesus walked perfectly, and he says, I only do the will of the Father. Here's a few purpose statements out of the Gospel of John that we can read. John 12:46, I have come as a light to shine in the dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Another purpose statement. Why did Jesus live? John 6:38, I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. That's such a clear statement. I have come down from heaven to earth to do the will of the Father, not my own thing. John 10:10, which we've heard used many times, it's such an amazing purpose statement. It says that the purpose of our enemy, Satan, is to kill, steal, and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's New Living Translation terminology. Other texts will say, I've come to give you abundant life, to give you eternal life. Jesus came to obey the will of the Father and to give us a satisfying life. What a great mission statement for life. And Jesus fulfilled that. And because Jesus did what he was created and called to do, because Jesus fulfilled his purpose, we have life. I'm going to conclude with a text in Philippians. This is Paul the Apostle. He's writing to some believers in the town of Philippi. Philippians 3 starts out this way. Paul says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Wow. Paul was an amazing person. He was an incredible religious scholar. He kept the law better than any of his peers. He was zealous. He was educated. He was the superstar of the apostles. He's the one who wrote much of the New Testament scriptures that we glean truth from. And he says this about all of those credentials and all of that resume. In verse 7, he said, I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Verse 8, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is worthless. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. What an amazing statement about what the meaning and purpose of life is, to know Christ. Everything else is rubbish. And that he isn't just being poetic, he lived his life that way. Everything else is worthless compared to knowing Christ. That's powerful truth. So know Christ. Everything else, according to Paul, is worthless. And the good news that is in here, right there it said, verse 9, no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I'm righteous through faith in Christ. All of those old other world religions we referenced, it's perfection, it's enlightenment, it's this process of multiple lifetimes to come to a place of perfect. Every other world religion relies on us to get it right. The truth and the good news of the gospel is Jesus got everything right, and he took our place, and he gives us the gift of life and purpose in him. He did it all. We don't. We believe and accept it. It's such a drastic difference. It's such a different way to live life. I was created, you were created to know and love God. Everything else falls from this purpose. Life only has meaning for you and for me if I know Christ, if I know God and walk in his truth, walk in his commands. If I don't get this primary purpose right, nothing else matters. Compared to knowing Christ, everything else is meaningless. It's rubbish. It's garbage. It's worthless. Once I have the truth, once I get the right answer about knowing Christ, then life is full of meaning, life is full of purpose, life is full of possibility and destiny and significance. If knowing Christ is the primary purpose for us as humans, then we need to know how to know him. So here's my little conclusion. I was getting pretty excited, so this last slide kind of shows you the summary of today's message, and it references our mission statement as a church. So the primary purpose and meaning in life is to know and love God. And from that fall all the other things that are important, like honor and glorifying God. Bringing honor and glory to God. Sharing the good news. Sharing this good news that it doesn't rely on me to find the purpose and meaning in life on my own and achieve perfection. It relies on the perfect life lived by Jesus Christ. And so once I have received that truth and walk in that and grow and become transformed, then I share this good news with others. It's that way. Know God, know his love, be changed day by day by that revelation, share it with others. I want to try and impart some freedom here right now. There, I actually enjoy studying and reading all kinds of things. One of the statistics I saw is that 75% of the adult population in the U.S. wants to find ways to make their life more meaningful and more purposeful. And again, if they seek it on their own, they are going to come up empty. But if they will have a revelation of the truth of who God is and that he created them, created us to know him, then that unlocks more meaning and more purpose in our lives. But sometimes when we look at this question. Does life have purpose? Does life have meaning? What is life's purpose? Sometimes we get a little bound up trying to get everything right. Does anybody feel like, I have got to get this right? If I screw this up, people aren't going to know who Jesus is. You ever had that feeling? Some of us are stymied and not able to share simply with people because I don't want to say something that's not true. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to mess them up. I just want you to know God loves you so much that he revealed himself to you, and he loves everyone else so much that he's not going to let you screw it up. He just loves people too much. He is not relying 100% on you to get it right for someone else to get a clear picture of his love. He wants to use us, and he will. I was thinking that would really free you up, and I'd see these little... Everyone sit up straighter. Okay, worship team, come on up. I feel that really strongly. I feel like we dig into these kinds of apologetics, these studies of what's true and what's not true, and we don't want to say anything wrong, and we certainly don't want to say something that would be politically incorrect and then offend people, and then that would shut them down from listening to us. Just love Jesus, love others, share your life. You don't need a theology degree, doctorate, to share Christ with other people. Let's not be lazy, church. Let's not ignore the truth that God has given us. Let's embrace it, have it change us. But don't feel like it all rests on you or other people will never know who God is. God will reveal himself in every way possible because his love is too great to be held back by you and me. I really liked that hymn that we sang, particularly that all the verses were good, but the one that was grace and peace like mighty rivers. So once you start playing that, I want to make an invitation this morning. For some of you here this morning, you've heard this truth about life and purpose and meaning being found in Christ alone. Some of you've heard that much of your life. Some of you may just be hearing it for the first time today. I don't know. But whether it's one time, many times, countless times, it's still true. And it's life-changing. And I pray it never becomes old hat and old news to us who've walked with God for a long time. The fact that the Son of God gave his life that we would have life is amazing. And it ought to undo us every time that drops in our heart. And if it's the first time, I want you to embrace that. How do we know this truth? It's really not complicated. Here's a verse from Acts. There's a story in Acts where Paul and Silas get thrown in jail for telling simply their faith in Christ. So they get imprisoned, and while they're in prison, they start singing hymns. Maybe this one. Sing hymns. They praise God. And an earthquake happens and unlocks everybody in the jail, and the jailer is afraid for his life, and he comes running and says, what do I have to do? And Paul and Silas tell him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your whole family are going to be saved. Isn't that a remarkable declaration? You believe and you are saved. You believe that Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he did, and you will have life eternal and unlimited purpose. It's incredible. Believe. I don't have to live three lifetimes to achieve perfection and be reincarnated in whatever form. I believe Jesus is who he says he is, and I am saved and walk in purpose with the Creator God of the universe. Wow. Here's how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. The good news that saves you, if you continue to believe in the message I told you, this message I passed on to you was what was most important and what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. We believe that amazing story that Jesus, the Son of God, died was buried and rose 3 days later and lives forevermore. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved. It's by believing in our heart that we are made right with God, and it's by confessing with our mouth that we are saved. We believe and confess our faith in Christ, and our life has purpose. We know God when we do that. So maybe it's your first time, maybe this is news you've heard many times, but today I just implore you, don't wait until the end of your life to embrace the answer to what brings purpose and meaning. It's Christ. Christ alone. Let's stand. I invite the prayer team to come up to the front. We'll pray for anything that you need prayer for. We'll pray in faith, believing. But today, I believe, is the day that some people can begin living their life with the purpose that is the only true purpose, and that's a life in Christ. So if you want to begin a life in Christ, walking with Christ, today's your day. Come forward and one of these people will pray with you. If you need prayer for anything else, come. Let me bless you with a closing prayer, and then you're invited to come. The worship team's going to sing this hymn over us until no one else needs prayer. Heavenly Father, I bless everyone here today to know and experience the love of Christ that is so extravagant, so high, so wide, so deep and long, that it goes beyond our minds to be able to reason and understand. So reveal it to our hearts today, I pray. I bless each one to have faith to accept the truth of your word as we heard it today. I bless each one of us to live a purposeful and meaningful life that points people to the truth of God's love, the truth of you in the story of creation, redemption, and restoration with the ones you've made. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give us each opportunities today and this week to share the love of God, the good news of Jesus, with people that we encounter at home and at work and at school and in the stores, everywhere we go. Let us overflow with the love of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, church. I bless you to go. I invite you to come for prayer, for whatever your need is.